All right. If you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20, Deuteronomy 20, is where we'd like to start out this morning. Just thinking about, want to do a little kind of a word study is what I want to look at today. But before introducing that, here in Deuteronomy 20, thinking about as Moses is going to be instructing the people about going into battle. So if you were in charge of an army, what would you want your troops to know? Like, what instructions you were getting ready to go out? What are some of the things that you would be concerned, like the last minute things, the things right before they're ready to go out, that you would want them to know? Maybe you'd want to make sure they got all of their proper equipment, you know, that they're going to need as they would go into battle. Obviously, you'd want to make sure they know the battle plans. Maybe you'd want to teach them some last-minute things about the enemy and their tactics, that sort of thing. Make sure that they got plenty of ammunition. All these things that you would probably come right to your mind of what you'd want to tell your troops as they're getting ready to go out. Well, it's rather interesting when we read about that here in Deuteronomy 20, what God instructs Moses to tell the people. So let's read that beginning in verse number 1, Deuteronomy 20. And when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and a people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And so it shall be, when you are at the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. Notice what he says. When you are at the verge of battle, that the priest will approach and speak to the people, and shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle." There it is twice he says that. You are on the verge of battle with your enemies, and this is what he tells them. Do not let your heart faint. Don't you think that's rather interesting instructions that he's given them? Something that I probably would have not thought of, but when you stop to think about let's just keep reading for just a minute. He says, "Do not be afraid, do not tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." And so this whole idea of don't let your heart faint. You know, you could have all of the best preparations that you could possibly have, the best plan in place, and the best soldiers. But you know, if their hearts are to the point of fainting and giving up, they're just going to turn tail and run anyway, aren't they? So you can really see the wisdom, perhaps, in this instruction that he is told to give to the people when they are on the verge of battle. You know, you could be on the verge of a battle right now. Very likely you are. There's all kinds of battles that we face in this life. There are personal battles, battles with ongoing health problems. It could be financial struggles that you're going through in your home. Difficulties with circumstances at work. Could be a trial that you're going through. It could be battling with besetting sin. Things that we battle with every day, dealing with the flesh day in and day out. Do you find yourself battling with selfish motives or perhaps laziness? These are battles that we face on a personal level. There are family battles that we sometimes have to face, battles with the struggle with knowing that we have unsaved family members that we want to see come to know the Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for them. Perhaps family battles, dealing with those that we care about in our family that are lukewarm spiritually and we want to see them grow and be on fire for the Lord. Perhaps they're backslidden family members or communication breakdown within the family, strained relationships These are battles that we can face even within the family. One of the things that we're currently dealing with is caring for aging parents. There's all kinds of things that can happen in a family that you have to deal with. And you have to be ready when they come. Could be ministry battles. Maybe you're dealing with burnout in the ministry. That can be a real battle, particularly if you're carrying a lot of responsibilities. You could be dealing with discouragement in ministry or doubts, or maybe that you're just not seeing the growth of the people that you would like to see. Or maybe there seems to be somewhat of a lack of commitment, or there are selfish motives that you might see in others who are involved in the ministry that you're concerned about. It could be hurt feelings. It could be dealing with division in the assembly. All of these are potential battles that we could face. Maybe we're not getting ready to go out on the actual battle line and face a physical battle like that. But these are real battles that we face all of the time. And I think that all of us can relate to any one of these, or perhaps others that I didn't mention. I guarantee if we were to go up and down the rows, all of us could raise our hand and say, this is the battle that I'm going through right now. I'm sure that that's a realistic consideration. But have you ever felt in the midst of a battle, or maybe the battle that you're going through right now, and you felt like, man, I just feel like giving up. I feel like, what's the use in moving forward? Or I feel like, you know, I have been down this road before and I have failed, and I know I'm just going to fail again. Maybe I should just give in and give up. Why even fight the battle? You know, that condition of a heart being ready to faint is a real possibility for us as we faint or as we face battles. How significant is that heart condition? Go right down here in the same chapter, down to verse number 8, because he actually describes how serious it can be. In verse number 8, he says, "The officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house." Listen to that. Would you have ever expected an instruction like that? Let him go and return to his house. And then he says, why? Lest the heart of the brethren, of his brethren, faint like his heart. What is he saying? He says, this is a contagious kind of a thing. This is something that can spread, and it's something that therefore must be dealt with. Now, obviously, we want to be careful here that I don't think that we're going to draw the conclusion that he's telling us that we should just give up and go home. That's not the teaching that we want to convey in dealing with. But the point is this, that it can be so serious, and how it affects us, that it could spread to others. And that faint-heartedness, that feeling of just giving up and giving in, could spread. And that's something that we obviously don't want to happen. And so as we think about this, there's a word in the Scripture that I want to look at. In Proverbs 24:10, he says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." And, you know, when you're feeling that faint-hearted, you know, this, as you're going through a battle, you certainly must feel like your strength is just small. You feel like you don't have any strength. But, you know, Jonah, you don't have to turn there, but this is a verse that I want you to really remember as we think about this study that we're going to go into today. And this, when I saw this verse, it just really jumped out at me. It's in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 7. And Jonah says this, "When my soul fainted within me," this is what he says, "I remembered the Lord." And I think that is the most important thing that I want to have as a takeaway for today, is all these different things that we're going to be talking about. Remember what Jonah said, is when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. That's going to be the key to all of these different things that we're going to be talking about today. Amy Carmichael wrote this. She said, "Christ, if ever my footsteps should falter and I be prepared for retreat." In other words, she's ready to faint. So she knew that just as well as any one of us can feel that. This is what she says. "If desert and thorn cause lamenting, Lord, show me thy feet. Thy bleeding feet, thy nail-scarred feet. My Jesus, show me thy feet. O God, dare I show thee my hands and my feet." And so to think about this whole, that's exactly what she thought, is if I'm going to be ready to give up, if I'm going to be faint-hearted, she knew she needed to remember the Lord. She needed to think about the Lord and what He went through even for her. And is she willing to do the same for Him out of love for Him? And so, just like Jonah, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." What I want to do today then is I want to look at some Greek words just from the New Testament of these words that can be translated as faint. Now, sometimes these same words that we're going to look at, they can be translated in various ways, just like, you know, you would expect with other with different Greek words. But they're actually translated as faint multiple times. And so I want to look at some of these. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the words. I'm not any kind of scholar or anything like that. But I'll be glad to give you even the Greek number, the Strong's number, that you can look it up yourself and you can see what the word actually is, because I probably wouldn't pronounce it correctly anyway. But the first one is the Strong's number, if you're interested, is number 1590. But this is the definition of the word. It means to loose, to release, to unloose, or to relax. And you might think, well, what does that have to do with, why would they ever translate that as the word faint? And this is a beautiful picture of what it means to faint. Because what you can picture, the picture is picture an archer. And he's got his bow, and he pulls back the string on that bow. And what is the tendency of that bowstring? It wants to resist that pressure that is being put on the string, and it wants to return to that relaxed position. It wants to take the easy way out. It's ready to faint. It's ready to give up. It's ready to resist the restraint of the archer. And that's sometimes what we do when we're facing those battles. Is sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that is pulling against us, tightening us, or getting us ready for something, and we want to resist it. We want to resist that pulling that He might have in our lives, as we'll see. And so that this whole idea of fainting through relaxation. And so let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would, as we'll look at one of these times that this particular word is used. Hebrews chapter 12. And the battle that I want to think about is battling with sin. Because, you know, we got to really start where all of us are on common ground here, because we all battle with sin. We might as well face it. We don't like to admit it necessarily sometimes, but and what you battle with might not be the same thing that I battle with, and vice versa. But nonetheless, I think we all can say, and you know, sometimes when we think about battling with sin, what are the things that we normally would come to our minds is, well, what about lust, or what about greed, or lying, or dishonesty, or whatever it might be. We might think of the more bigger common sins that get most of the attention. But you know, what about sins like failing to love God with all my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength? What about the sin of prayerlessness, like Samuel said, you know, "God forbid that I should sin against you in failing to pray for you"? What about the sins of omission, the things that we should do that we don't do. What about simple selfishness? What about, there's so many different sins that we could think about that we would deal with. But in here in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, let's begin reading in verse number 1. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged. And that word there, however it happens to be translated this is the New King James Version that I'm reading from. But the word there for discouraged in the New King James is that same word that is often translated as faint. It's this Greek word 1590. Lest you become discouraged in your souls, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And so there's this striving against sin. This is the battle that many times that we face in, what about the sin of jealousy? We can see that a lot of times in the local church. What about having a critical spirit? That can be very damaging, in a local church. Or here's one, gossip, the sin of gossip. Or simple, sometimes we talk about pride, but one of the worst kinds of pride that we see sometimes in the church is spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. Things that we think about, laziness or worry sometimes as well. So there's so many ways that we could think about this battle. And what is a battle for you might not necessarily be a battle for me. But nonetheless, it's a battle for us as we battle against sin. But let me ask you something. What is that, you know the scripture that talks about the besetting sin? When you think of that phrase, does something immediately come to your mind? It does for me. Why is that? Because it's a battle. It's a battle. Have you ever dealt with your battle and you felt like, I've been here before. I failed. I pray. I ask the Lord for help. I face it again and I fail. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, I might as well just give up. I might as well just faint. I might as well just want to be released from the restraint of the Holy Spirit and give up. And that's a reality that we can all face. James talks about that. He talks about how we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed, and then it becomes sin. Not just being tempted is not sin, but when we give in to that temptation, the struggle is very real in the battle with sin. And so what is God's help that he tells us right here? Remember the Lord's battle with sin. Consider him, we just read. Consider him and think about what Jesus did when he battled against sin. Praise the Lord, he was victorious in his battle with sin. And you know, because he was victorious and we are in Christ, we can be victorious. But when we consider the Lord himself looking unto Jesus, we read in verse number 2. There's where we need to look. So many times I find myself when I am faced with that situation of temptation and it might feel like fainting, where are my eyes? It's either on myself or the temptation. That's where my eyes are focused when I feel like fainting. But if I'm looking unto Jesus and I'm thinking about and I'm considering him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, he says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds or discouraged in your heart. So there's where we need to keep our eyes, is to be thinking about Him. Praise the Lord that when He fought the battle against sin, He was 100% victorious. What a Savior we have. And we can rejoice in that. In Hebrews 2:18, for He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to do what? Aid those who are tempted. He is able. There's where we need to keep our eyes, is focused on Him. Not on ourselves, not on our past failures, not on the strength of that temptation, but on Christ. That's where we need to keep our eyes. We need to remember Him, and we need to remember His victory that He can give us in that situation. So there is this battle with sin. There's also the battle with self and the flesh. You ever deal with self? You ever battle with self? Yeah, this is something that we will battle with until the day that we go to, and we long for that day, don't we? Don't you long for that day when we won't have to battle against the flesh and against sin and all these things again, and we will be like Him forever? Just like we sang, what a day that will be. Love that. But in thinking about this battle with the flesh, this is where we are. This is the reality of it. And when Moses was getting ready to send the, when they were getting ready to go into battle, this is what the priest, he said, when you are on the verge of battle, you might be on the verge of battle dealing with self and the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. I wish I couldn't relate to that, but I can. That's the truth. In dealing with the flesh, how many times have we related to Paul's account in Romans chapter 7 where he says, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I do want to do. And he just says, oh, wretched man, who is going to deliver me from the body of this death? And so we can definitely relate to that. The Apostle Paul himself in thinking about that. But we can remember His promises. He's given us some promises. One of those is in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, where He says, walk in the Spirit, and what will happen? You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We have the promises of Scripture. And whether my experience lines up with His Word, it's not a fault of the Word, is it? The fault is in me. Because I choose to not trust His Word and by faith walk in the Spirit when it comes to this battling with the flesh. And that's the truth of it. And we have to believe what God says in His Word. In Romans 8:13, He says, if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It can be done in the strength of the Holy Spirit. In our strength? Absolutely not. We can't do it. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. But you know, have you ever gotten to that point in that battle with the flesh? And maybe it's something that you can relate to more, like maybe interacting with somebody who's really close to you. Isn't that when we sometimes allow the flesh to really get in the way? Sometimes we put up a good facade when we're dealing with one another here, maybe. But when we get with those that we're really close to, that's sometimes when we let our guard down and we allow the flesh, that battle with the flesh. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome that in the battle against the flesh. So in Galatians chapter 6, I'd like you to turn there if you would. Galatians chapter 6 in verses 7 through 9. I'm going to go ahead and start reading those. As you turn there, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or faint, is the word there. Lose heart or faint. This is that same word that is used about that that bowstring, wanting to be released. Why is it? Because it wants to take the easy way out. The easy way out is to give in to the flesh. The easy way out is to resist the restraint of the Holy Spirit and to lose heart. But if we remember these promises, we can be encouraged in the battle with self as we walk in the Spirit and as we submit to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Is it easy? It's not easy. Will it ever end in this life? We'll deal with it all along, that's for sure. But we can in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's other battles that we face. Battling with chastening. And let's see here. We go until 10. What time do we go to? 11:10? Is that right? Okay, 11:10. All right, so battling with chastening. This is something, well, first of all, we need to define what is chastening. A lot of times when we think about chastening, we might think of that it's always under the guise of discipline for having done something wrong. And sometimes that is the case. But, you know, chastening can be other things. It can be like instruction. It can be forms of learning and teaching that the Lord is doing in our lives. Correction or even warning can be a part of chastening. But the Lord can bring things into our lives, and it can seem like a battle. And this is where we have to be careful, because using the word battle in this situation is not the right way to look at it. Because if the Lord is working in us through chastening to teach us, to instruct us, or to mold us, we don't want to fight against it. It's not a battle. But are we willing to submit to it? That's where the battle comes in. Is submitting to the working of our loving Father as He works in our lives through chastening. And that's what we want to be careful. So if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is we'll find this word used. And we saw the beginning of this chapter. But in chapter 12 and verse 5, he says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged." And there's that same word again. "Or be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you receive chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" And so we know that our loving Father deals with us through chastening. Sometimes that's not easy to go through. Whatever form of that chastening that He might be using in our lives, it might not be pleasant at the moment. In fact, in verse number 11, that's what He says. In verse 11, He says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so this whole idea of being discouraged, being going through a difficult time, is not easy. But are we willing to see it as coming from a God who is sovereign, a God who loves us, and that He only allows what He wants to allow to come into our lives for the purpose of molding us and making us and have the character of Christ built into our lives? Now, when you're in the middle, it's easy to say these words now. But when you're in the middle of it, it's not easy sometimes. It's very difficult, whatever that chastening might be, whatever He is using in our lives. The temptation can be to be discouraged by it, to feel like you want to faint, to feel like you want to resist it, to feel like you want to get out of it and take the easy way out. That's when our hearts can become faint. And so what do we need to remember about the Lord? Just like Jonah, remember what he said? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but in verses 11 and 12, he says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father the son in whom he delights." And so the Lord is using these things in our lives because He loves us. That's what we need to remember about the Lord, is to remember His love for us. Just like we need to remember His promises when we're dealing with the flesh. Just like we need to remember the Lord's battle with sin, what He went through when we're dealing with the battle with sin. These are what we need to remember about the Lord. In this case, that He loves us. You remember what happened to Paul when he was dealing with the thorn in the flesh? He didn't just accept it right away, did he? He prayed. He asked the Lord to remove this from him. He prayed to the Lord. And you know, I've often thought of this as, I tell you what, if I could, other than the Lord Jesus Himself, if I could pick a person to pray for me, I think I'd pick Paul. You read his prayers in there. They're not shallow prayers. Those depth and concern and love and the prayers that he has for the people of God. And so he prays three times for to have this thorn in the flesh removed. And what does the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for you. He didn't tell him yes, did he? He said, nope, this is what I want for you. Whatever that thorn happened to be for Paul, God said, no, I've got a bigger plan. And part of that involves this thorn. And that's what he wanted for the Apostle Paul. And sometimes that thorn in our lives might not be pleasant. It might not. We might ask God three times or more to remove that thorn. And it might not be His will to remove it. He might have a purpose in it to work in us. Because why? He loves us. He's a Father who loves us. And He knows what's best. I often think, speaking of little babies, I often think of that. There's a scripture in the Psalms, and I can't think of it right off. But he talks about a weaned child and how that weaned child doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't understand. Why are you doing this to me? This is what I love. This is what I enjoy. This is my comfort. And yet a parent knows that it's time to wean that child. Might not be pleasant for the child because they might not fully understand what's going on. But you know, that's us with God sometimes. We don't always understand what he's doing. But we can trust Him. He's a loving Father that knows what He's doing, that works in our lives. And so we can have that peace. And so we only got into one of the words. There's actually three words that I wanted to look at, but we got to look at one of those words, and I hope that this time of looking at this particular word, fainting through relaxation, if you feel like you're going to faint, if you feel like that what you're going through makes you want to take the easy way out, and to resist the working of the Holy Spirit, the restraint of the Holy Spirit. Look to the Lord. Do like Jonah. When my soul fainted within me, he said, I remembered the Lord. We need to look to Him. He is our solution. He is our Savior. He is the one that can keep us from fainting when we're in the middle of the battle. The battle is real. There's no doubt about it. The battles are real. And it's not a sign of weakness to go through a battle. Because they're real. They're going to come. But how do we handle the battle? We can't without the Lord. He's the only one who can help us through it. Father, we thank You so much that You are a loving Father. And we thank You, Lord, that the reality is when we are tempted to faint, that we can turn to You. Thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. And that You're always there. In fact, You want us to turn to You. You want us to look to You. You allow these things that we might turn to You as our loving Father. What a great God that You are. You're so wise. You're so awesome. You're so powerful. And we thank You that we can always trust You. And Lord, help us to trust You more. Help us to always look to You. Forgive us when we look to ourselves. Forgive us for wanting to take the easy way out sometimes when You have something that You want to accomplish in us for Your glory. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that we'll use it to Your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.